Hare Krishna. It was a late night last night. We had another, many devotees at Tati Sundarananda's home again. His Holiness Bhakti Chul Swami Maharaj was there and spoke very wonderfully about Navaraja Mahima, and also read a message from Radhanath Maharaj. That's on the podcast, although I forgot to turn on the tape recorder in some parts. And today will be our last program down in this part of the manor area before we head off to the Midlands, and then from there Wales, and then come back to manor again. Dr. Sundarananda and I agreed that I would go and have another prostate check a week this Saturday when we're heading from in London from one program to another. I have four relatively short questions. One is from an anonymous source, and he asks, interestingly, he says, when one is trying to conceive a child, then what should we do? Some devotees say, chant the holy name. Others say, visualize the form of Krishna. Others, put the future baby in your mind to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. What should one do? Well, all of these sound like really wonderful things to do, and I would say that anyone that a devotee likes to do will certainly get the grace of the Lord and invoke the presence of a wonderful, wonderful child. And I leave it to devotees to decide on what they would prefer. We want auspicious circumstances. Actually, that's another part of the question. Does astrology really matter in good Krishna conscious progeny? There's no harm, obviously. If someone's a transcendentalist, then he's beyond all of those things. And if circumstances do not permit, but if possible, then why not pick something that will add auspiciousness, especially while we're conditioned souls. And what I wanted to add to this was something that wasn't particularly new. I've spoken about before is that conceiving children is certainly. There's an important process to that that Srila Prabhupada talks about, but it's the lesser of the burden, responsibility, because after that there's another whole lifetime practically, and 20 years at least of upbringing, of making sure that children see a sterling example of their parents, of Krishna consciousness, and they get an equivalent education, Krishna conscious education, they have a good association, and that they don't become contaminated by the influence of the environment around them. That's not an easy thing to do. It also requires a lot of surrender and sacrifice on part of the parents. And Maharaj Vishabdev says, Namo Cheta Samupetu Mrityum. You've got to ensure that you've got a program how to deliver your children from the clutches of birth and death. And if you don't have a program, then don't conceive children. Because the responsibility is on us. As devotees, we have a responsibility to these children. And even if our process of conception is such that we bring highly exalted personalities into this world, demigods, sages, yogis, devotees. We know from our own personal histories, as well as from scripture, that demigods, even of the quality of Brahma and so on, can become bewildered by wrong association. And ones like Indra and lesser demigods, yogis, devotees can fall down and once again become influenced by the lower modes. So that program is not for the faint of heart, not for just the sentimental. It's a real serious undertaking, and one really has to know what one's doing and have a very, very serious plan. Like anything in the world, unless you've got a plan, it's not going to happen by accident, unless you've got some kind of super extraordinary karma. Liberating ourselves doesn't happen by chance, and certainly liberating our children doesn't. Having a idea that these children are going to be so elevated that they're going to liberate themselves is really illusion. They're not going to liberate themselves. They're not Prahlad Maharajas. Or even if they are, Prahlad Maharajas are few and rare in between. But even Prahlad Maharaj wasn't alone in his effort. He had a Narada Muni who instructed him, guided him, and was giving him support. So, despite the fact that his father happened to be a demon, rather we should see what naturally happens, that we have so many wonderful wonderful children, but they can easily take to bad habits if they're not given the right protection. And even then, it's no guarantee, but at least we should have done our best. Okay, and the next question comes from Gaur Krishna Das. He says, why do scriptures call Brahma Brahma Swayambhu, in other words, born from oneself, when he's born from the navel of Lord Vishnu? He's born from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and sometimes it's said that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is his father and Lakshmi Devi is his mother. Lakshmi Devi and the Lord are the original cause of everyone. So there's a spiritual cause and a material cause. Our material cause of our birth is our father and mother, and if they have the blessings of the Lord and Lakshmi Devi, then we make our appearance in the world. If they don't have the Lord's blessing, then we don't take birth. So it's not just a material effort. Every material effort requires behind it the ultimate cause, which is the blessings of the Lord. So when Brahma is called Swayambhu, it means that he has no material cause for his birth, and that's why he's Swayambhu. But he has as everything and everyone, has a original cause, which is the Supreme Lord. So that is the reason why he's Swayambhu. No material cause. He's the he's his own material cause. That's why he's called like that, Swayam. Question number 3 is from Sundar Madhava Das, and he's asking that we know that the living entity, by his karma, will take birth somewhere in this universe, but the living entities, by their karma, can they take birth in another universe? Or are they restricted to the universe that they are in? I haven't read anything that specifically answers that, yet a little philosophical speculation indicates that the answer would be that living entities can take birth if their karma directs, then they can take birth in another universe. That's what's your karma. Do you deserve it, or do you need to take birth in another world? if your karma is such, then it's fine. Here are a few examples. Someone has performed a suitable austerity in this universe to take birth as Brahma, and yet the Brahma in this universe is already here, and he has a long life. Therefore, a living entity can appear as the Brahma in another universe, where there isn't such a suitable personality, in other words, where there's a vacancy. So that would be one example of other demigods as well, for instance, that of Indra. So karma means what is it that you want and what is it that you deserve, and if what you want and what you deserve isn't here in this universe, or it's suited in another universe, then why not? You can go to another universe. And the last question is from Bhakta Alex. He says, if Krishna is expanding unlimitedly, then can we conclude that Krishna is expanding into new jivas? And could this be related to the concept of new souls New Agers talk about? No, what New Agers talk about is complete speculation and has got nothing to do with scripture. And people don't stumble across scriptural conclusions with their New Age meditation. I don't think New Agers even know what a soul is, what to speak of a new soul is. In other words, they don't have a clear definition of what the soul is, because if they did, they wouldn't be New Agers. They'd be Hare Krishnas. So to understand what the soul is, you also have to know what the source of the soul is, which is the Supreme Lord. So Krishna manifests, continually manifesting unlimited souls, although those souls are also all eternal in their nature and without birth. No, the New Agers are not speaking about these souls because they don't have a conception of who souls are, who the Lord is, what it means to be a new soul, and so on. And we don't necessarily need to relate to them. Rather, we need to purify people who have all kinds of speculative philosophies and get them to understand what the truth is, rather than necessarily trying to adjust or shimmy Krishna conscious principles to sort of get them to perhaps think that what we have is of value or relates to what they say. We don't need to give value to what people's speculation. We need them to actually value the absolute truth, which will take place only through purification of heart. And if the New Agers chant Hare Krishna, then by that chanting, then they'll come to realize the right things and give up speculative habits. Hare Krishna.